وما جانت من الخسيات من عند شلاك تكشور النيل تامين التسمى يشيب الرفيق.
The result of Ajamil's Namavash was, it wasn't that he was becoming free from his anartha, he was going on with it. Not just anartha, but grossly sinful activity. That by the grace of the Lord, because of his previously performed devotional service, he named his child Narayana. And by the grace of the Lord, he was able at the time of death to remember Narayana. So then, it wasn't that he became free immediately from all his sinful concepts of life, but at the time of death, what was supposed to be his death, he remembered Narayana, calling, and then the Vishnu Dutas came, and then he went and performed devotional service. He gave up his sinful life. He was given a reprieve. He didn't die. He left home and went and performed devotional service, became fully purified, and then went back to Godhead. So it's a little different. It's different than our situation. You're chanting with faith, but you're still, due to past bad habits, you're not fully purified. Purification should be there. Yes, a highly controversial question. In Shastra it said that women are inferior to men. How is that? Because women may be seen to study as well as, if not better than men, and they're able to work in the same way. Women are supposed to take a subordinate position to men, or are considered inferior, because with the womanly body comes a different mentality. Even according to modern science, medical science, there are two sides of the brain. One which works on the emotional level, and one which works on the logical, reasoning level. So, according to modern, I don't know what science that would be, neurology or psychoneurology or whatever they want to call it, that in women, the emotional side is always very active, even if the logical side is also working. But the emotional side is always very active. So when it's said in Shastra that women are less intelligent, that's specifically qualified because their power of discrimination is less, because they tend to be emotional, they can very easily be misled. Or they tend to judge things on the emotional platform rather than the discriminatory platform. Therefore, they should always be under the protection. It's one of the reasons they should be under the protection of a husband who's supposed to think in a more reasonable, cool-headed way. That's why it said also that women, they emotionally never develop beyond the stage of a child. Now, another thing is that by nature's arrangement, women have children. Men don't have children. So there's a certain mentality which goes with that also. Because when you're looking at bringing up children, you have to say, ah, goo, goo, and become almost like a child in dealing with them. So that particular mentality goes with, and that's required. At the same time, it's, what is that? Matri Bhodeva, what is that? This famous verse that the mother is to be respected as, just as God, as guru, because they have an invaluable contribution, but it's a different contribution. Mothers, women are required in society as mothers. That is required. That if every woman becomes a bricklayer or a business manager, business magnate or whatever, then who's going to bring up the children? So that's required, that women, they have that role as mothers and wives. Now, along with that, some very capable women, they may do other things also, such as so many other things. But it's required that they look after children, bring them up. The children require full attention. And according to nature's way, generally most women will have many children. Not just one or two, as is the modern norm, due to contraception, which is unnatural and sinful. So that means they need looking after for many years, one after the other. Modern society is different. Modern society is just like hell. They have all wrong ideas. Everyone is equal. Democracy, as I was discussing last night, democracy. Everyone should have an equal vote. And then you get the leaders like Lalu. They're simply coming down to the mob mentality. Rely on Lalu. They get the votes from the most. Anyway, we shouldn't condemn, but you see what kind of people they are. They're voting for who should be a leader. They have no idea of politics, economics, or any such thing. And they want to give reservation to scheduled castes and tribes, and people are still hunting with bows and arrows, and they're going to come and govern the state. It's ridiculous. This is all in the artificial idea of democracy. It's not that democracy says everyone is equal, but factually we see it's not true. Even in communism, they rigidly try to make everyone equal, but by the arrangement of nature, some people are more intelligent than others. Some people are more capable than others. How did Stalin get on top of the communist pile? Because he was more intelligent, more scheming than others. So it's all... Although if you speak against democracy, people think you're speaking, it's like some sacred thing that you're speaking against. But actually it's all based on a fallacy, that everyone is equal, which they're not. They always say hands that help are holier than lips than prayer. In other words, service to man is better than service to God. It's another atheistic idea. How can you help? What are you helping? Build a hospital, help people. Will it free them from birth and death? How are you helping them? You're helping them what? To get healthy so they can perform more simple activities and go to hell for longer. They don't know how to help. They don't know what helping means. They're fools. Practically, nowadays it's another result of democracy. Everyone thinks my opinion is so good, I'm also educated. But they're all educated in ignorance. What is the value of their education? So they're all talking so many things, but they don't know the most basic principle of life. That we are not the body, we're eternal soul, and therefore real help or real benefit is on the platform of the soul. So it may not be very fruitful to discuss with people who are so much foolish and ignorant. Sorry? Yes, this is a very subtle point. The difference between critical discrimination for the benefit from the pure Vaishnava platform for the benefit of others, or simply fault finding which is offensive. And that you have to look into your own heart and see. What is my motive? Is it simply to put this person down due to some envy? Or is it to help him come up due to love? That you have to see. Neither should we be offensive to devotees, or unnecessarily critical, or nor should we, in the name of not being offensive, just let anyone do whatever they like without any discrimination. Yeah, taking shelter of Krishna, and taking shelter of astrologers. Well, not necessarily taking shelter, it's inquiring, it may be just like you look in the newspaper to see when is the monsoon beginning, so I should get my umbrella in time. Or I look at the newspaper from time to time, and where am I going? Are there still riots going on? So it may be something like that, just for the sake of information. Of course, you can never fully trust the information in the newspaper, nor can you fully trust the information acquired from astrologers, but it gives some can give some indication. So there's a difference if you think that by going to the astrologer, I'll get this stone, or I'll do this mantra, and then all my problems will be solved. No. You should know that my problem will be solved when I surrender fully to Krishna. Krishna is my protector. So astrology is also a bona fide Vedic science, and it depends on the attitude in which we use it. Although it is difficult to find a very good astrologer nowadays. Marriage, they seem, so many years, people have been consulting astrologers for marriage, and it's proved to be generally quite reliable in that regard. So in certain areas they may be still quite good. But especially for devotees, the karmi astrologers, they can't really understand, because for devotees there's the influence of Krishna in their lives, and there's the desire of the devotee. The karmi astrologers are trained to think how they can get money, fame, all these materialistic things. The devotee has a completely different motive. So going to the astrologer may not be so helpful. Plus it may be that the devotee, Krishna is arranging to spoil all his material plans. So there's nothing that the astrologer can do to help you. You may be trying to make your material plans come out nicely, but Krishna has some other idea. See, only a devotee can laugh when you say that. If you say, all your materialistic happiness will be spoiled, the devotee laughs. Materialist, oh no, what should I do? So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Of course, it's easy to laugh when we're just talking about it theoretically, but when it actually happens that all your material plans are spoiled, then it comes the test that we're talking about in the class. Then we have to see. Can an astrologer give indication of your progress in spiritual life? Maybe. I'm not so expert in astrology. They can certainly see if someone has divine qualities, or they can tell at a certain period it'll be very good for sadhana. At this period you'll have an increase in renunciation. Such things they can certainly see such things. Sometimes they can say this person, he will not be born again. They can say such things. So I've heard. Yeah. I'm not that much adept in this science. But at the same time, I'm not against it per se. It's a Vedic science, and if practiced properly, can be useful in human society. And the question is, Diti, knowing that her offspring were going to be big demons, deliberately kept them in her womb for a long time. Is it possible? It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, so it must be possible. Not simply a fairy story. There are so many things in Srimad Bhagavatam which may not seem possible, according to our understanding. There are eagles that fly from planet to planet and lay eggs in midair, and they come and they catch elephants to eat them, and so many things. We haven't seen everything, we haven't seen the whole universe, and we don't know. In Kali, all the things that are going on. In Kali Yuga, people are very gross. They're covered by lust, greed, anger, they have no austerity, so they have... Previously people had so many different powers, yogic powers. It was a common thing. Nowadays, anyone has any little yogic power, which was normal previously, and people call them Bhagavan. How can a brahmachari living in the temple in ISKCON who doesn't have a relationship with his parents, he wants them to be devotees, how can he do? Well, one day you can pray for them. You could arrange for them to get some books. You can become a pure devotee yourself, and that way they'll also be delivered. Some devotees, the brahmacharis also, they keep relationship with their homes just for the sake of cultivating their parents in Krishna consciousness, although there's usually some entanglement that goes along with that. So there are different approaches according to the individual situation. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.